Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. This week, we'll hear two stories of technology helping humans do their work. First, Maxim Moskalov tells us how law enforcement is using tech to help solve years-old cases.
And then we can look at a crime scene sample where we don't know what the person looks like and make predictions.
Then we'll hear about a new baton that helps visually impaired musicians know exactly what the conductor wants.
It senses the movement of the hand. It senses angle, senses roll and pitch. It also senses whether you're making these sharp gestures or gentle stroking gestures.
For the tech of it, on this week's American Cafe. About 33 kilometers west of our headquarters here in Washington, in a nondescript four-story concrete building, there's a company that's using a unique method of analyzing DNA and researching genealogy to help investigators solve decades-old murder cases. Maxim Moskalov visited Parabon Nanolabs in Reston, Virginia, to learn more.
The body of 8-year-old April Tinsley of Fort Wayne, Indiana, was discovered in 1988. Police say she had been raped and strangled to death. For 30 years, the girl's killer left notes in the area taunting police. But in 2018, investigators finally caught up with 59-year-old John Miller, who confessed to the crime. The cold case was solved with the help of scientists at Parabon Nanolabs in Reston, Virginia. They use advanced DNA analysis and genealogy research to track down Miller.
In the April Tinsley case, we didn't get matches as close as we like to see. I was mostly working with third, fourth, fifth cousins, which meant I had to build those family trees pretty far back in time.
Based on the suspect's DNA profile, geneticists built a suspect's family tree using information from open DNA databases, newspaper archives, and census data. Scientists also use an advanced DNA technology called phenotyping, which helps determine a person's distinctive physical characteristics like eye color, height, and blood type. Parabon's method, known as Snapshot, gives police more information in tough cases where traditional tests aren't enough, say scientists.
And then we can look at a crime scene sample where we don't know what the person looks like and make predictions and give confidence statements. Here's the probability that that person has blue eyes instead of green eyes. And most importantly, we can tell investigators, here's the probability that that person does not have a particular trait.
The scientists can use the information to develop composites of potential suspects. But while Snapshot can provide detectives with breakthroughs and key details, it doesn't always help push a case forward.
Well, it's important to emphasize that the composites that we produce are not photographs. So every prediction that we make is given a range of confidence. So we don't know their age or weight. So we always make our composites as a young adult. Similarly, anything that's a choice, how you wear your hair, whether you have tattoos, scars, things like that, we can't take into account.
But despite the limitations, Parabon Nanolabs says Snapshot has helped solve 33 out of 200 cold cases since it was developed in 2015. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Reston, Virginia.
If you would like to see the folks at Parabon Nanolabs in action, log on to our website, voanews.com. If you're a classical music fan, you probably know the names Gustavo Dudamel, Seiji Ozawa, or Marin Alsop. All are world-renowned conductors of major orchestras, and in symphonic music, the slightest cues from the conductor can mean the difference between a good performance and a great one. But what if a musician can't see? Well, as Faith Lapidus tells us, a company called Human Instruments, which designs and develops musical instruments for people with disabilities, has created a conductor's baton which allows the visually impaired to follow its movements.
Standing before the orchestra, the conductor guides the music with a sweep of the baton. The assembled musicians watch its movement for cues. Play more smoothly, now louder, staccato, softer. But how can musicians who are blind, like violinist Abby Baker, follow the conductor?
You know, in the past, we've been reliant on hearing sounds around us. So I've been playing in a violin section, and I've been reliant on hearing the other musicians putting up their instruments and then guessing roughly when to come in, which obviously isn't ideal for me, because if you're playing something fast, you can miss a bit.
The haptic baton can help visually impaired musicians come in on cue. Its developer, Vahakin Matosian, explains that it contains sensors that pick up even the conductor's slightest motions.
And what it does is it senses the movement of the hand. It senses angle, senses roll and pitch. It also senses whether you're making these sharp gestures or gentle stroking gestures. It knows where it is in space.
That information is transmitted via radio signals to devices attached to musicians' wrists or ankles. They vibrate and buzz in different ways to indicate to the player the pace and dynamics the conductor wants. It's a game changer for blind musicians, says pianist Kevin Sutisabel.
And this technology essentially plugs you into the conductor's movements, which is really exciting. And it means that, you know, musicians, well, orchestras won't have any excuse not to hire visually impaired musicians, because the technology is right there, allowing them to be an integral part.
The haptic baton is still being tested with musicians and conductors like Ewan Campbell.
When using it and being able to also be able to feel the signals that it gives you, you adjust what sort of motions you make and what sort of indications you do, but quite quickly and I don't think with very long, I could form a new conducting style that wasn't a visual conducting style, but was a sensory conducting style.
Matosian hopes his design company, Human Instruments, will have the haptic baton available next year. Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
To see the haptic baton in action, log on to our website, voanews.com. Thanks for being with us this week. If you have any questions or comments, log on to our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. You can find previous episodes of our program at voanews.com. For all the folks here at VOA, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.